Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. My name is Carmen, one of your most beautiful hosts, unemployed but beautiful hair.
And my name is Kelsey, your other host, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast.
I thought you were also going to say also unemployed.
I mean, that's not wrong. It's just different circumstances.
That's fine. It's fine. Life, in the immortal words of Rascal Flatts, life is a highway.
They were not the first ones to sing that, but yes.
No, we're not. What?
Wasn't that a cover?
I don't know.
Are you supposed to know stuff?
So Jessica, there was a situation where she was like, how many servings are in this blank ounce can of green beans? And I could not answer a simple math question. And you know I'm good at math. And I was completely wrong. Like I was like way off. I think I doubled it instead of halving it. I just didn't get the right answer. And Jessica's like, wow, being unemployed has changed you. And I was like, I just need an Excel spreadsheet in front of me to figure out this math. Anyways. While you're looking that up about Life is a Highway being a cover or not, just want to welcome all of our...
Over 20 times. Yeah, no.
Oh.
Rascal Flatts, it says, is the most famous cover.
Oh, okay. So who was it originally by then?
Tom Cochran. Canadian.
Oh. Got it.
Those Canadians. It was the number one hit in Canada in late 91.
This
is not the song we're supposed to be discussing.
No, it's not. Anyways, thank you all for joining us. If this is your first time here, if you listen to the first 3 minutes that has been recently updated on our first ever album, our first ever episode.
We do need to record an album though.
Yes.
Hard Day's Night. I mean, right?
Yeah, right. And you skipped ahead as I recommended. Thank you. Welcome. If you have a second, hit that like and subscribe button. Wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review. It's really been helping us in the algorithms lately. Definitely send us an email at graysacademypod@gmail.com and Kelsey will respond to you. And follow us on Instagram at graysacademypod, at carmen.gabriel.official. At Catically Kelsey, and that is all I have. Kelsey, take it away.
Carmen, sometimes yes. In life, you're right.
But mostly always.
You're right for a very long time, and then literally 2 episodes ago, you make yourself wrong, and it brings me such joy in my heart. Because 2 episodes ago, after Izzy gave her huge... we have to jump in. We have to address it. All right. If for some reason this is your first episode, for the entire 54 episodes, essentially... Well, you probably landed on it on, like, the third episode. So for, like, around 50 episodes, Carmen has been so certain that George and Izzy are going to sleep together. Like, 100%, like, is, like, they will have sex. And I have been maybe leaning into the other way a little bit. Which I stand by the fact that I don't think they have any chemistry. Like, I'm not taking that back.
I saw it from the first 3 episodes. Okay. I knew it.
And so Carmen has been saying this and saying it easily at least 30 times. He has said they are going to have sex. 2 episodes ago, after Izzy gives her big speech to George about how his marriage was a terrible mistake, Carmen goes, there's no way they're going to have sex now. Like, they're done. Their friendship cannot recover from this. I had multiple people messaged our Instagram to be like, oh my God, you're so close to it happening. And Carmen finally says it's not what's going to happen.
I blame you because I think that you've been skewing so far at, you're like, you're trying so hard to not give anything away that you're talking me out of my own predictions. So I get credit for that. 50 right predictions do not outweigh one incorrect prediction.
But the most recent one was wrong. And that's my favorite thing is that changed your mind so recently. That's fine.
Listen, I have, okay, so we're also going to have a quick little sidebar for the next like 3 minutes about how to get away with murder, because I know when people are going to fuck. I get the vibes. Okay. And, so I knew, I don't remember what it was exactly, but there was like a look that, Izzy
spoilers
gave
for How to Get Away with Murder. Oh, for this?
Well, so this show. There was a look that Izzy gave George very early on that I knew they were going to have sex. There's a look that I see in people's eyes when they're foreshadowing about to be boning. And I got to tell you, this is spoiler alert now for How to Get Away with Murder. I knew that Asher and Michaela were gonna fuck. I knew it. I knew they were gonna bone. I totally called it. When Wes and Laurel kissed, I knew it. When Bonnie and Asher were smushing, I knew it. When Connor and Oliver were smushing, I knew it. I get it. When Eve and Annalise had sex, I was like, Jessica, they're going to fuck. And she was like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, Jessica, no, trust me. And then 45 seconds later, they're macking and they're boning. I called it.
Yeah, she explicitly said that one to me.
Yeah.
Like, she said that she would, that she kept being like, they're not going to have sex every time you would predict it. And then she was like, especially when he said that, Eve and Annalise, and then it happened.
All I'm saying is I'm really good at this, but, is there anything else that we should talk? What else did I send you about? Oh, Asher's back on top being my favorite person in the show. Frank, ever since he shaved off his hair and his beard, he's kind of sucked.
God, he looks so fucking good after he shaves his head. Oh my God. I mean, he's already gorgeous, but after he shaves his head, I was like, hot damn, that is a good looking man. Like,
I think he would have looked
shit.
Good with shaved head and beard. But once you lose the beard, it's a real bummer.
Normally, I'm with you. Normally, I'm like very pro facial hair. There are very few people that look better without facial hair. But he really, I was like, this is the vibe. And that's also when he like takes a break from the buttons ups and the suits, which, like, don't get me wrong, he looks really good in a suit. But like when he's just wearing those like really well fitted t-shirts and like a leather jacket, that's like, ooh, the vibes. They are immaculate.
I get it.
That is a fine man.
So I won't go too far down this rabbit hole because I don't want any spoilers, but Jessica has allowed herself to be spoiler free for this long, which I'm very proud of her.
That
obviously,
is
we all
a
know
big
that
deal for Jessica.
She doesn't do that. But I think the last thing that we saw was Laurel was able to use her dad's connection to call him, or he like finally just called back and was like, I don't believe you, Annalise, this is all bullshit. So they haven't like reunited or anything yet. So that's where we're at right now.
Frank.
Yeah. It was the episode where how many times have you watched this show?
Like four.
So it's the episode, we just watched the episode last night where the creepy guy was like, there was a dead girl in a freezer somewhere. It was like,
he's so gross and he did it, but he like said that his cellmate did it.
Yeah. And then they were at the casino and they were up 80 grand
oh my God,
and then blew it all.
One of the most stressful things that has ever happened.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Anyways.
And Annalise slaps that guy right in the face.
Oh yeah, that was dope. Sad though that Michaela had to pawn off that ring, which is a bummer. Also a $45,000 ring. Fucking shit. I hate rich people.
Aiden, man.
Yeah. Anyways, and we are back.
Here we are. Grey's Anatomy, thanks so much. Check out our Patreon for more of that.
We should record. So, also, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. This comes out on Thanksgiving. I hope everyone's being
Thanksgiving.
I hope everyone in your family is being great That's what I will say to our listeners. I hope there is no drama for anybody in anyone's family. And I hope the food is good. Yeah. Those are my Thanksgiving wishes for our friends.
I wish that no hate shootings happened this Thanksgiving. That would be nice.
That would be really nice if there was just one day where nothing terrible happened.
Yeah. Also, not to get too political, but our hearts go out to Colorado and anyone in the LGBTQ plus community. So just want to make sure that we talk about that just for a second. I know this is not like a political podcast, but that's the kind of people that we are. We are pro LGBTQ plus. So our hearts go out to you guys.
Thank you for being here. So let's get into it then. This is episode 54, the 18th episode of the third season, and it is called Scars and Souvenirs.
And that's a song.
It Scars sure is.
Scars and Souvenirs is a song by Max Stalling, released in 2000. And this one didn't have any critical acclaim, including the album that it was from, which is from the album Wide Afternoon. It was recorded on the label Blind Nello Records. This is a country rock album, so I did not enjoy it. but I listened to the whole thing. It's a very typical kind of like slow country song. It's telling a story. It's the opening line is, it's been 15 some odd years since we lost Aunt Lil, playing Russian roulette with memories, nothing but time to kill. So the first line of the song is literally someone in their family died because they lost a game of Russian roulette. So, interesting to say the least, but, the entire song kind of circles around this chorus of, I've been better, I've been worse a time or two. I got two bloodshot eyes, and that's enough to see me through. Fair to middling, considering life's mostly scars and souvenirs. So, I think if we're looking at this, I expected there, because it said specifically the got two black bloodshot eyes, I thought maybe this would be a big Jane Doe episode, and spoiler, it really wasn't much at all about her. I mean, she did like almost lose the baby, but you know, that's fine.
Because she didn't.
Yes. Sorry. Because she didn't. It's not fine that she almost lost the baby. It's fine because she didn't. But that's all I got. The song didn't chart anywhere. The album didn't chart anywhere. I don't think this Max Stalling guy went on to have an incredible career, but I didn't do any research on that. But the song for me was a 0 out of 10. I did not download it and I will not keep it. And that's all I got.
Did not download it and I will not keep it. Okay, thank you so much. We so appreciate you. This episode was written by Deborah Kahn and directed by James Frawley. It aired March 15th, 2007. To an audience of 22.68 million. So down a little bit from last episode, but because, you know, everyone just was coming to see if Meredith lived last time, and she did. So they're gone now.
Yes.
The Netflix synopsis for Scars and Souvenirs is, the race for Chief heats up as a new competitor comes forward, and Callie must reveal a big secret.
So, I don't think that she must reveal it. She just happened to reveal it.
Yeah. She chose.
She could have gone she could have gone her whole life without really revealing it. I guess she probably couldn't have, but she could have gone at least till next week.
At least 1 week.
Yeah.
Okay, so let us begin with the recap. We got Meredith drowning. She drowned. Christina, she woke up and Christina told her she was engaged. George, Callie, Izzy, debacle. Jane Doe is there. The chief says he's going to retire. Addison and Alex have a thing. Thatcher exists. Izzy and Alex had the kiss and Izzy said no. Ellis is dead. So, did you have anything else?
No. I did... I was like, oh, so Thatcher's for sure going to be in this episode. And then the sex challenge thing between Addison and Mark. And that's pretty much all the things that I had to add to that.
Well, perfect. Let's discuss.
Let us discuss.
Izzy is in the shower. So I know you like the beginning.
Listen, I want you to know that the second I saw that shower, I was like, okay, Izzy, let's do this. I could tell by her silhouette now because her and I have an emotional and physical connection.
She is the worst. She's showering. Alex comes in and she's like, oh my God. And he's like, I've literally seen it. Like, what does it matter? Then he says he's moving in. He's taking George's room. She freaks out. So she goes in, wakes up Meredith and Derek to complain to them. And then Meredith launches into her people are what matters thing. And Izzy goes, people are what matters? You hate people. What's wrong with you? Is this about your mother? And then Meredith has like, I was dead and now I'm not. Everything's fine.
Yeah. It is one thing that she is like, Alex is one of our people, which first off, about damn time. The guy has been through the ringer with you fucking interns. But then she's like, I had a near death, whatever. And then she also says, I wrote these three exact quotes. So Alex is one of our people. I had a near death, whatever. And paint with all the colors of the wind. So I was like, that's a good reference. Oh gosh, Pocahontas.
Disney owns everything, guys.
Disney does. They own ABC,
welcome back,
right?
Bob. Welcome back, Bob. Ah,
the good
welcome
Bob.
Back, our best friend, Bob Iger. Ugh, the best Bob.
You know, I knew for a couple of weeks he sent me a text, and I'm like, look, I need to tell my friends. And he said, if you don't, we're never going to go skiing together again. So we've got a trip planned next month.
So I actually was reading, and this is allegedly, obviously, I was reading that they approached him Friday at close of business, and then they released the statement on Sunday. Legit, that's what I read, and I don't know if that's true because I don't know what the source was on it, but that was something I read. And then I also read that Bob Chapek is getting a $20 million severance package, so it's like I just don't feel that bad for him.
No, not at all. It's interesting because I think that when you get removed as a CEO, it's not like you can get demoted from VP. You can get like moved around to a different branch of the company or whatever. But like you were the CEO. You've climbed the top of the mountain and you fucked shit up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sticking around. You're gone. You're gone. Yeah. So it's whatever. Life is a highway. Remember, this is going to be a theme for this entire episode. Life is a highway.
Guys, if you are new here, Carmen and I both worked for Disney for a long time, so we are maybe more invested in this news piece than other people might be. But we worked at Walt Disney World I worked there for 9 years. How long did you work there? Five, four,
two,
three,
two and a half, maybe.
I think it was
two and a half. I lived in Florida for three. No,
anyways.
Three and a half. Remember my last year was working at that sock place, which I'm not going to name. And my first 2 months there, I'm still a big fan. I love that place. I exclusively wear their socks. But the other place I worked 2 months at, that one coffee place, remember?
Yeah, that really, really unrecognizable, not national chain coffee place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, okay, Grey's Anatomy. Alex, Izzy's like trying to put her towel on, and Alex is like, I'm over it. Like, I don't care. I'm not trying to look at you anymore. Like, it's fine. I've moved on. And she's like, ugh, whatever. Like, obviously you're still in love with me.
Because everyone is.
Well, duh. Obvi. George and Callie are in their hotel room. He's eating breakfast and bitching about Izzy and how she's like selfish and self-involved. And he makes a very good point because he's like, she's so compassionate with her patients, you'd think she could extend some of that to her friends, which is correct.
You
would think that. Then Callie's like, hey, can you like stop talking about Izzy? And he does, and they make out a little bit. But anyways, yes, they're living in a hotel, which obviously is a major plot point later on in the episode. Izzy says, oh, they're in the locker room, and Izzy's still complaining about the Alex thing. And she's like, George is going to, his marriage is going to fall apart and he's going to need to move back in his room and he won't be able to because Alex is going to be there. So like, is that what you want? Meredith's like, yes, that's what I want.
Which so is like just, cold blooded, but Izzy yeah. also shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like this is not like she's making it a problem and it's simply not a problem.
And he's not even there. I think I'm more mad with her bitching about his marriage when George isn't there.
Yeah. Like that's how much she, I mean, I'm not going to say I've not done that. Not about someone's marriage, but like I've bitched about things when like I can't let it go. And that's how she definitely is doing with this. But like the thing is, no one agrees with her. I try and at least have someone agreeing with me in my bitch fests.
Well, yeah,
it's only
because
so
then
fun
it's
to complain by yourself.
Well, it's a fine line between you both are just drinking the tea and you're just being a shit person.
Yeah.
Like Izzy exactly. in this moment is being a shit person. If yes. you came and complained to me about someone else who wasn't there and I agreed with you, we're just Kermitting it up, you know? That's it.
Yes. Spilling that tea. Meredith tells everyone that she's like, let's do this once. I'm fine. I put my mother's ashes in an urn in the back of my closet, which is weird, but okay. Deal with it how you're gonna, or don't deal with it how you're gonna deal with it, not deal with it. It's Meredith. She has problems, obviously. Christina's like, oh, who's the new chief candidate? And nobody knows. Bailey comes in and hands out those assignments. You drinking your kombucha?
Kombucha. I got another jug of eggnog just sitting upstairs. So,
oh, God, I hate it so much.
I sent, if you listen to the last couple of episodes, I drank a tall boy glass of eggnog on the show, and I didn't realize it. Kelki didn't like it.
I hate eggnog so much.
I sent her a picture of just eggnog the other day, just a glass of it.
And I responded with a gif of Baby Yoda vomiting.
It's true. Blue milk.
Jane Doe is, Bailey comes in hands out assignments and Meredith puts Meredith on scut because she's like, obviously you're going to be distracted, whatever. And Meredith is like, I'm fine. And Bailey's like, great, your mom died and you almost also died. So we're just going to let you not do normal medicine yet, which I think is
the
fair.
The thing that's confusing about that is like scut work is the paperwork. It's the back end stuff. It's the operational stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's just as important. Send her home.
I think scut is more along the lines of like after the medicine is done. I don't think you're writing down like allergies. I think you're more writing down like, and then we did this and then we did this and this was what their heart rate was.
So not as much the paperwork. It's the less important. It's like writing notes to an essay as opposed to actually like operational filings. Like what if she filed something in the wrong spot or mixed up people's charts and stuff?
I think you just are like filling out information in the chart and like
okay.
dictating.
I feel like, a little bit better about that.
Like, you know, when doctors will sometimes like dictate into like a tape recorder and then someone has to go and like actually write it down.
Yeah.
That might be what it is. If you're a doctor or you know what you're talking about, and we obviously don't, then please tell us because we don't know. And we would love to.
We've never once scutted in our entire life.
It's true. I have not. Okay.
No
so
scuts, no butts, no coconuts.
Alex is talking to Jane Doe and she's asking if anyone's come for her yet. And no one has. And she doesn't. They're basically talking about what they need to do for her surgery options. Cause like something's wrong with her eyeball and she could lose vision, but also she's pregnant. So like it could be dangerous for the baby if they do this surgery. So they go back and forth and Alex has like a really good connection with her, which is very nice. And he like really takes his time and like explains the options and goes over everything and makes her feel comforted. And then ultimately she decides to go ahead with the surgery that day. Cause he's like, we're going to be there like monitoring the baby the whole time, whatever. So
at this point, either one of two things with Jane Doe, either she is single and no one's come to look for her, or two, the person who she was with died in the ferry boat accident.
Mm.
I don't know.
I know.
I know you know. How many more episodes do we have to wait for this particular arc to come to an end?
I don't think that many more, honestly.
I'm very curious. Maybe
it's before the end of season three, for sure.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so then Izzy's in the clinic, and she has, like, an older gentleman who has a bullet in his, like, the back of his shoulder, and he's just asking, basically, for pain medicine. And she's like, well, we're going to go ahead and double check and make sure that's what it is. And he's like, well, I know that's what it is. And she's like, that's fine, but we're just still going to check because it's my job. She says, we have to do it my way. So,
which, good for her. Good for standing up.
It's fair. I mean, I feel like don't go to a doctor if you don't actually want the doctor's opinion, but whatever. That's just me.
Well, my initial guess was that he might just be a junkie, like an old, old man junkie.
An old man junkie.
But he's just a seasoned war veteran who gets no closure with his life. That's all.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Derek's patient is someone that he was friends with from New York who has a tumor in her brain that basically comes back, like, well, they take part of it out because it's in, like, a difficult area, so they can only take part of it out. So then they have to redo surgery, like, every 2 years. So she says that this is going to be her last time because she's sick of it. So they're just going to do it. And then she's going to spend 2 years on the beach doing whatever she wants. And Derek is not thrilled with that decision. Because
they must have boned.
You think so?
I definitely have, like, like there's some sort of romantic feeling there because he gets deeply involved. He pressures her. He goes and he cuts open and saves her life himself. And,
well, let us recall
there's a lot of romance. Okay.
That Derek is selfish and somewhat of a narcissist, so he always thinks he is right, regardless of who you are.
That's fair. It's a good point. Yeah.
And obviously, like, they definitely do have a bond, but I don't really get relationship vibes from them. But I would have loved to see, like, Addison come in and, like, also have known her. But I guess not.
Maybe in the recovery. Maybe in the next episode. Unless this person is never seen again.
Who's to say?
You are literally to say.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's not in any more of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, so yeah, I would have loved to see that and just kind of flesh out that relationship more. I kind of thought it was maybe more of like a mentor thing.
Oh, that would have been cool too.
But that was just my thought. Everyone is trying to, they're all like standing outside the chief's office trying to see like who the new chief candidate is. And Christina's like, well, I heard it's someone from Sanford and I went to Sanford and all my professors loved me because I was a really good student, which she's like a very type A perfectionist. So it's not surprising that she would be like a hyper perfective student like that, is my opinion anyways. Bert comes up and asks Meredith how she's doing, and she says she's fine, and George says she doesn't like it when people ask. And then Izzy says, oh, everyone at Sanford loved Christina. Oh, she's like mocking Christina. Izzy was in a weird mood this episode. She was
such
like,
a weird
the
mood.
Place. It was bizarre. And then Burke is like, well, Christina is a brilliant student. Like, it's easy to see that, you know, and sometimes she's also a kiss ass, but she can't help it. And everyone laughs.
Yeah.
The guy comes out of the office and Christina's face immediately falls. Burke gets all excited. He's like, oh my God, it's Colin Marlowe of the Marlowe transplant. Did you get so excited because this was your daughter's name?
Yeah, Colin.
They obviously put an E on it, which is not the way that you spell it. But
yeah,
I was like, oh,
we spell
that.
Our daughter's name Marlowe with M-A-R-L-O-W, no E.
But yeah, I was like, oh, what a Marlowe episode. Burke goes up, gets so excited. He's like, oh, I'm such a big fan. So he goes to shake the guy's hand and the guy's like, oh, okay. And sees Christina and is like, oh, excuse me. So he goes over to Christina and is like, oh, you're not even going to give me a hug. And they hug. And Carmen, what happened when they hugged?
Yo, it was fucking weird. He touched her vagina.
That's
through her
happened.
Butt. Oh, listen, that was inappropriate. You want to talk about inappropriate? It was in the middle of the hospital in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was not an uncomfortable elevator ride. It wasn't a move being made on in the on-call room. It was in front of fucking everybody.
Like, I know you're British, sir, but like, that's not how we do things here. Don't you want this job?
Yeah.
Just start. I've never been more harassment. Uncomfortable
in this show. Yeah. Yeah. I actually, this is in a rare move. I texted Kelsey and I was like, I need to just say this. Which, the fuck was up with that hug?
Like, knowing what happened in this episode, I was like, what is he going to say? But I knew you had just started, so I knew it wasn't going to be anything about the ending.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The more and more that this episode went on, obviously, I got more and more frustrated, but we'll just go ahead and take it all one scene at a time.
Yeah. So he grabs her ass and then we get the title card at 7 minutes and 45 seconds. So delightful. Burke asked Christina, like, oh, what was up with that hug? Why didn't you tell me about him? And she's like, oh, you want me to tell you everyone I had sex with? Because I didn't think we did that. It's kind of like brushing it off. Like it wasn't that big of a deal. And it's a pretty big deal. Cause this guy, it's not like, oh, you just slept with your professor. It's like you slept with your professor who is well, very, very, very well renowned in his field. Like very respected. So
it would be like a CP sleeping with Bob Iger.
Almost.
George Caligridis.
Yes. Or Josh.
Or Josh. Oh, love him. Or Matt Simon.
Don't get me started.
This is all public information. You can go look up any of these people who work at Disney. It's all okay. They're great. They're all VPs and they're wonderful. We love them.
They're very, very nice and good at their jobs.
Not you, Bob Chapek. Not
it's not his job anymore, so. Izzy is obsessing over the Alex thing still and is like convinced that he's still in love with her. And he's like, I just like don't want to end up at home alone with him. Like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to know what to say. It's just going to be so awkward. Like, he obviously still has a thing for me. So and while she's going on that tirade, Meredith sees Susan and Thatcher. And so she dives into her broom closet. And then Christina comes around the corner and Izzy starts on the same diatribe where she's like, do you want to come over? We never get to hang out. And like, it would be so great if like I wasn't alone with Alex because like he's so in love with me. And Christina sees Marlo and also dives into the broom closet. And Izzy's like, what the fuck is happening? Just
this whole scene is hilarious.
It really is quite funny.
It's good comedy because it also addresses the thing that we always are calling out of. How does no one hear them talking?
Yes.
And Colin is like, we can literally hear every fucking word that you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Just also, come out. It's okay.
I just love Izzy like having no idea. Like the way she plays the comedic aspect of that scene is funny to me. She's just like, what is happening? Like, where is everyone going?
Yeah. And she's just sitting there eating her apple, like a little just precious nugget.
On her apple. So they're in the closet arguing about who has to get out of the closet. And then she asks, like, oh, what was up with Carl and Marlo? And she goes, he was my professor. We were close. And Meredith goes, he had his hand on your ass. I sure hope you were close. Delightful. And then Susan and Colin are at the door being like, oh, I think someone's hiding from me. Oh, I think someone's hiding from me. And Christina is like, go hide in the bathroom. And Meredith says, my awkwardness with my father is well established. You and the cardio god have loads to catch up on.
I did like that little breaking of the fourth wall of the establishment of the parent thing.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm a sucker for breaking the fourth wall.
I do love it. It's a good time. It's a good, good time. Christina, that's when he says, like, we can hear you. And she goes out and she sees him and she goes, oh, hi. So funny. I laughed very hard at that. Oh, hi. Susan tells Meredith she's sorry about Ellis. And she's like, we just wanted to check on you and make sure you're okay. And Meredith is like, oh, is the baby okay? And she's like, yeah, no, we're literally just here to see if you're okay. And Meredith's like, oh, you don't have to do that. And Susan's like, why don't we have dinner? Like, I'll I'll make you some chili. You can come over. He, you know, he's the only family you have left, all this stuff. And she's like, well, I don't really see it that way, but whatever. So, but she agrees to the dinner.
Which is nice.
Gotta be just painfully awkward.
There was a point where, what's Thatcher's wife's name now? I forget. Susan. So Susan was like, I know that he's an articulate person who spills food on himself a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just, it reminded me of that scene where he's sitting there with his coffee in the newspaper and just is fucking losing it
throwing
everywhere.
Throwing everything.
Yeah. They just make that character out to be this bumbling buffoon. And that used to be George.
It's so funny too, because as I have previously noted, the character, or the actor rather, who plays Thatcher is a regular in Scandal, and he is like the opposite of Thatcher because he is the president's chief of staff. So obviously he's like very well spoken, very like high powered, and it's just like such a, like the most opposite you could possibly have. It's really incredible.
And Scandal doesn't cross over to this. Scandal crosses over with How to Get Away with Murder.
Yes.
Okay. I'll need to watch that one. Now that you said that there's presidents and stuff in there, I'll have to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Scandal takes place in DC.
Is Scandal like House of Cards?
I've never watched House of Cards. But okay. I don't think so, because isn't Kevin Spacey... is it Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
Isn't he like a senator for a while before he's the president?
Yes, but it's like the whole, spoiler alert, the whole premise of the show is he's like scheming and he's a terrible person.
So he's being a politician like every other politician.
But worse than most, I would say. that I say that with very little information to go off of because I don't get to see the filmed lives of senators. I would equate him to like a murderous Mitch McConnell probably. Yeah, no, he's just terrible. And he becomes president.
Yeah, no, Scandal is like, so Olivia Pope is the main character and she is a fixer in DC. So she works with a lot of the politicians, and she previously, like the guy who is president when the show starts, she worked on his campaign.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, it's like very political. I think you would enjoy it.
I also
think you would enjoy this Madam Secretary. It's quite good as well.
But I just want to get away with murder.
I know. There's so much TV to consume. And Shonda has written so much of it.
And I've got so much time on my hands.
Nothing sweating in time.
I'm rewatching Ted Lasso, though. So it's
so good. Well, as soon as I'm done rewatching, you feel so good.
Yeah.
Just such a feel-good show.
I just... quick sidebar. Roy Kent just became... the coach again. He became the assistant coach. So
Roy Kent.
He's here. He's there. He's every fucking where.
Roy Kent. Guys, watch Ted Lasso. It's so good.
I forgot how much of a piece of shit Nate is in season two. Just
don't
a fucking
even
trash.
Get me started. It's like so
dickhead.
Upsetting. Like that. It's normally the other way around. It just normally doesn't arc that way. It normally goes the opposite direction.
It's inverted.
It's a parabola, not an arc.
What's the parabola with that?
Okay. You nailed that. Oh, it's a loud bang. Someone fell down. Okay. So Marlo's like, wow, I can't believe you were hiding from me in a broom closet. And she's like, you know, it would have been nice if you could have fucking warned me you were coming to where I work. And he's like, well, where's the fun in that? Like, then you wouldn't be terrified and uncomfortable. So they kind of, she's like, don't flirt with me. I have a person. I'm engaged. And he's like, oh, wow. Like, it's legit. So he's like, oh, can I give you a congratulatory hug? I don't have a very good British accent, guys. So sorry.
That was another weird scene. You want a congratulatory hug? Try like statutory rape hug.
Okay. I mean, at least he asks. But I'm like, a swift high five would be appropriate.
Yeah. A handshake, maybe.
Or just maybe walking away would be fine.
Yeah.
As well.
Give Marlowe's everywhere a bad name.
Honestly. But only the British ones. So George is talking to Helen, the Derek's patient with the brain tumor. And she's saying like that she's really hungry, but she's staying at this really nice hotel and she had ordered like a special breakfast at midnight as her pre-surgery meal. And that's where him and Callie are staying. So he's like, oh, try the French toast. It's so good. And she's like, oh, how can you stay at the Archfield when you make the intern salary? And he says, oh, my wife gets a deal. And she's like, wow, it must be a really good deal. He's like, obviously, it's like a very nice hotel, is what we are meant to believe. So then he approaches Callie and he's like, how much do we pay? Because like when we order room service, is that extra or is that included in what we pay? And she's like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And he's like, no, how much is it? And then so he like presses her and she tells him that they pay $800 a week just for room service. Wild. So he's like low-key losing his mind, obviously, because he thinks that that's just like so much money, which it kind of is. So
it is. It is.
$800 a week only on food. And so he's like, how can we afford this? And she says, I have more money than I make. And so she takes him aside and she's like, my parents have money, so I have more money than I make. So like, that's what, like, so we pay for it. It's fine. Like, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. And that's how she pays for things. And he starts like losing his mind because she's an heiress and she didn't tell him. Which honestly, like, I'm not a huge George fan, but I do feel like that would be something you maybe disclose to people.
At least before the marriage piece.
Yes. Now, she does say later on that this money has had like a negative impact on every other relationship she's ever had. So that's why she chose not to tell him. However, it's not good. Like, it's just not good.
Also, you were living in the hospital basement for undisclosed amount of time.
When that was first happening, I was like trying so hard not to say this because I'm like, yeah, it's even weirder because she's fucking loaded.
Yeah. Although it also, I'm realizing in this conversation that Weber is living there as well.
Yeah.
And but Mark. He makes a shit ton of money. Oh, and Mark will also makes a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
I would assume Mark makes more than Weber.
I don't know, because Weber's still doing surgery and he's the chief.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a good point. I don't know.
And then also Addison is living there.
Oh yeah. Gosh.
All these rich people.
After 60 days though, Mark and Addison might just condense into one room. Who knows?
Maybe.
One suite.
So yeah, also their hotel bill is $2,500 a week. So that's fun. And then he says, is there anything else you feel the need to tell me? And she says, I had a pet ferret for 9 years. So
hilarious. Pure comedic
gold. Ferrets
are
stinky, you guys.
They are.
Ferrets are very stinky. So Derek is talking to Helen and he's like, what about this surgical option? What was it? A sagittarius bypass or something like that.
A Sagittarius comeback.
Exactly. So she's hesitant because it's a riskier surgery. She goes, it is what you call a big balls surgery. So he pushes and he says he's not going to be okay without trying everything before she gives up. Because he's a pushy bastard. Doesn't like to take no for an answer. But whatever, it's just someone's life.
Yeah, no big deal. It's okay. It'll all work itself out in the end.
It's fine. It's Derek. He's Derek. He can do no wrong. He's just great. Perfect. Never done anything. Okay. So Izzy's patient's x-rays come back. Dr. Weber and Callie are there. They're looking at it. They're like, we can take it out. And they're like, how did you get it? And he says he was in Korea and he was in a leadership position. I don't know if he says specifically what his rank was, but he was a leader. And he gave an order that his men didn't like. And so they're in the middle of this battle and he gets shot from behind. So he is like been really bitter about it. And so he wants to take the bullet out and prove basically that his own men shot him.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
He deserves the closure.
Yes. Are you saying it's insane that someone would have shot him, like his own man would have shot him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, also, what kind of call? Like, I can't imagine a call being so something you disagreed with so strongly that you shoot the person who made it.
Right. And also, how did the guy who made it get so far ahead of you without, like, you anyone following him to where it was easy to shoot this person in the back? It just, the story didn't make sense. Maybe he's a compulsive liar, too.
So they were taking fire. So there's, like, a lot going on. And this is Korea, also don't remember, so there's not, like, a lot of, you know, it's not like what we have now for battles, I assume. Right.
I don't remember what movie it is, but there's a World War II movie, might be Wind Talkers, maybe, where they're literally shooting at themselves, and it's like across a ridge line, so it's like kind of far away, and they have to use Morse code to stop the firing and everything. But yeah, at one point they're like, it's United States soldiers are firing on themselves, and it's crazy.
Did you see that movie Hacksaw Ridge?
No, I haven't.
I also haven't, but the guy that's based on is buried here in our national cemetery.
What? In your Tennessee National Cemetery?
No, in Chattanooga, we have a national cemetery.
Oh, really? Is there national cemeteries all over the country?
I don't know. I assume so, but my mom's parents are both buried there.
Wow. Next to Hacksaw?
I don't think so. But I don't know. It's quite large. Michael's grandmother's also buried there.
Wow.
And I assume his grandfather, but I don't actually know. Anyways.
Interesting.
I know some stuff. Okay. Also, at the end of this scene, Izzy and Callie are just, like, glaring at each other so aggressively. It's just, I hate it so much. Like, they both need to... I mean, like, obviously I'm on Callie's side, but I would be more on her side if she was just ignoring the situation.
Yeah.
Because that would make Izzy even more mad, I feel like.
It's a bummer because we know how strongly Izzy feels about this. And Callie just, like, doesn't care. Callie, like, just does not care. And up until all of the shit-talking, had genuinely no ill will towards Izzy.
Yeah. I mean, she was frustrated at the beginning of their relationship because she felt like George always chose her friends over her, and clearly still does because she says that later. But, like, yeah, she was never, like... I hate Izzy. She was just like, I hate that this keeps happening.
Right.
Sorry, I gotta hydrate, guys.
Hydrate before you dehydrate.
Exactly. Okay, Meredith tells Derek that she agreed to have the dinner and also about Christina sleeping with Colin Marlowe. And she's like, how am I supposed to have this dinner? What am I gonna do? And he's like, oh, have it at your house and I'll come and I'll be your wingman and it'll be fine.
He doesn't get there immediately, though. He's like, great. It won't be great. It'll be okay. It'll be fine.
Also, he's very distracted by the fact that Christina had sex with Colin Marlowe.
Yes.
Before he gets here at all. So. And then he says, like, oh, it'll be fine because they're your family. And Meredith says, why does everyone assume that? And while it's kind of annoying, I also am on her side because people assume that, like, blood is what makes family. And it's definitely not the only thing. And also, I think it's fine if people have to cut out their family members because it's a toxic relationship or...
True.
Like, I hate when people are like, oh, you owe them something because they're your family. Well, not if they're garbage.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, that's not true. Just because someone has related to you doesn't mean you owe them anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Like if your parents, you know, they grew up physically and emotionally abusing you, you don't owe them anything, you know?
Correct. Especially if you're like so scarred and unhealed from that.
Right.
Or even if you're healed from it and not scarred.
Yeah.
You just don't want that in your life anymore. That's your business. But yeah, it's the pressure from other people. Like, because I feel like often people who are saying like, it doesn't matter what they did. That's your parent or that's your sibling or whatever. They have perfect relationships with their family members. So they can't grasp the fact that other people have different experiences. So they can't like think, oh, well, they have to do this for their own. Like, it's okay to set this boundary because they have clearly had a different, like the most different upbringing.
It's also very interesting when the parents are like, you just need to forgive me and move on. Like, no, like literally not even a little bit. I don't.
Yeah. No, nope. 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 Nope.
I would have no experience with that. However,
no, you are healed. Okay. So, Mark and Addison are standing around and like some nurse walks by and Mark leers at her and Addison's like, oh, what, you can't sleep with her? And Mark's like, yeah, but I can look at her. And they kind of go back and forth about it for a little bit. And she's like, I didn't think you could do it. And he was like, well, I can because you're worth it, which she is.
And she it's is.
About time someone noticed.
It is funny, though, because she's like, yeah, you bet your ass I am. That was cute. It was a cute scene between them.
It was very cute. I love it.
It gave me small hope that Mark could turn things around.
Yeah. So George is sitting with Meredith having lunch and freaking out about the Cali thing. And Meredith is like, this is good. Like, she's rich. I don't understand, like, why you're freaking out. This is a good thing. And he's like, it's a terrible thing. And I'm like, is it, though? It's bad that she lied, but is it terrible that she's rich?
I wish Jessica right now was like, I need to tell you something. Like, I'm so rich. That would be great.
That would be,
but then I would
ideal.
Be annoyed. I would be annoyed at how much I've paid for over the years.
And how annoyed you've been about money in the past.
Yeah. And then I'd probably end up divorcing her because of the sheer emotional trauma that she caused me.
And because
all
there
the
was
years.
No prenup, you could sue right. for the money.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take half of everything, please, Your Honor.
Thank you. So Izzy sits down. And Meredith tells her that Callie is rich. And George is like, why? Don't tell her that. Don't talk to her about Callie. And Izzy is like, oh, I don't even have a name now. And he's like, can you maybe just shut up for once? So clearly they're not in a good spot, which is fine because she was a bitch last time they interacted. And the times before that.
Exactly.
Because the last time that we saw them interact was the speech about him making a terrible mistake. And then before that was when they announced that they were married and she was not nice about it.
And tiny every small scene, every, yeah, those small diamonds are so great because no one will ever mug you, or whatever she says. And every tiny scene that we got after the speech was definitely Izzy forcing George to like forgive her. And
yeah,
like,
but not apologizing.
It just happened. Cut the guy some slack.
So yeah, George tells her to shut up and leaves, and there's tension. Then Christina sits down and Izzy's like, oh my God, tell me all about it. And she goes, do you remember all the other times I've told you about my sex life? No, exactly. So she's trying to turn them off or whatever. And Alex sits down and is also asking about it. And then, Meredith is stressing out about the dinner. Izzy says she'll cook for her. And Christina's like, I'll show up 45 minutes in with a fake crisis to get you out of dinner. And then Izzy asks if Colin Marlowe took Viagra. And then Christina gives in and tells them that he did. It's a miracle drug. And one day it'll save your life. That's what she says to Alex.
I have two things that I want to point out here. Number one, I will never need Viagra. My penis is more than capable of all things.
You just don't know that. And when you say things like that, I feel like you're tempting karma. But go on, please. Continue.
Anyways, I will also say that if I ever needed Viagra to perform, I would not care because the ultimate result is I want to be having the sex. So I will do what is necessary. But have you ever had a fallback
Viagra?
Story?
No.
Have you ever taken Viagra? Have you ever had a fallback story, girl code style, bro code style of, hey, this is what's going on. I got this date. I need you to call with an excuse. If things are going bad, this is what we're going to do. Or
have
you never been in that
text
situation?
Me that's like, hey, can you call me right now and be like really upset? And so I have done that on more than one occasion, but I think one time I think it was on a date. And I think more than that other time, it's just been like, I've had friends that were like around people that were annoying them, be it family or like coworkers or whatever, or just like in a scenario where they didn't like the people they were with and they wanted an excuse to leave.
Nice.
So I'd be like, I need a ride. Oh my God, my car died. Oh my God, I ran out of gas. Like whatever.
I think I've only done it once. And, so Steve was the person who needed to give me, make the phone call for me. And, I remember the excuse that we had come up with that was premeditated was, Bella, Cindy's pig had like fallen down the stairs.
I was so sad when you told me Bella died.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how long this pig has been in my life. This was pre Jessica on a date. It was last week I was on a date with Jessica, and I needed an excuse.
Not Jessica, some other girl.
No, it was like, it was pre-Jessica, and I was like, hey, I need you to call me like 45 minutes in. This is gonna be the time. Tell me that like Bella fell down the stairs and we need to like help Cindy pick it up or something. And it ended up working. It was great. I never saw that person again. And it wasn't even a bad date. I just think I was like, I just don't want to be here. Like, this is fine.
Yeah. It's just not the date. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Derek introduces himself to Colin. Marlo invites him to his surgery. Burke invites him to his surgery. And Marlo's like, oh, if your goal is to intimidate me, it's working. And then he leaves and Derek goes, Colin Marlo. And Burke says, the one and only. And this is the exchange. He, yes. With yes. Wow. Indeed. Yeah.
So good.
I love
incredible
it
writing. Great
with,
writing.
Like, with so few words, they're so fleshing out this relationship, and I love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I've really enjoyed seeing Derek and Preston become Biffles.
I was just going to say Biffles. Oh my God.
It's because like we're Biffles. Biffles.
Oh my God.
We you finish guys. Each other's
sandwiches.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. So good. Okay. Alex is helping Sloan in the Jane Doe surgery. The baby goes into distress. Marlo is in the surgery with Burke talking about Christina and how he was like, oh, I can't believe that she like agreed to marry you. Like I proposed to her multiple times and she always turned me down. And also we were together for 3 years and Burke is like, what the fuck? Because Christina yeah. played it off like basically it was a fling and it yeah. wasn't.
I was shocked by that, actually. That took me, I usually don't get surprised, especially by Christina storylines. Mm-hmm. But I was like, fuck, 3 years. That is a banana sandwich.
Yeah, that is a long-term relationship with a professor at your school. So after the surgery, Burke confronts Christina about it, and she's like, I didn't want to marry him. Like, I think, and Burke's like, oh, he said you think marriage is a stupid institution. And she's like, I do think that, but like, I'm doing it because I want to make you happy. And he's like, okay, that's neat. And just leaves, which is like, I understand where both of them are coming from. Like, she thinks what she's saying is nice, but it is not
right.
nice.
No, no.
And so then, Addison and Mark are fighting about the surgery. They're like in the hall screaming. Addison is like, you should have waited a day. Mark says it's fine. The baby ended up being okay. It's not a big deal. She didn't lose her vision. Addison yells at Alex to go monitor the baby. They're screaming at each other. And then Weber comes up and is like, this is not how you like, what are you doing? You are screaming at each other in the hallway. Like, this is not acceptable behavior.
It really isn't. It's so not. Unprofessional, like not even professional in the slightest.
No, at all. In any job, not just a hospital setting, but like in any job, just like don't scream at people. Yeah.
It is interesting because I think there's another scene later with the showboating kind of like
yeah,
theme.
That's not far off. Yeah.
The thing that was interesting, though, is Addison was really mad at Mark, and I don't really think that one time didn't seem fair. The Derek and Burke exchange later to me seems a little bit more fair. Yeah. But this one here, like, Marla wasn't in that surgery.
No, she's just mad at Mark. I mean, she's saying that like he's doing it to get attention like from the chief. Not necessarily yeah. to show off for Marlo, but to show off for the chief because he wants
right,
to be the
right,
chief.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get that. But that's, I don't know. I see where he's coming from as a doctor. You don't know how those things progress. And also Alex was in there and was like, yeah, this is what you're going to do. And then it was really Mark, not Mark. It was Alex talking Jane Doe into the situation anyways. I don't know.
Well, also, it feels because Addison wasn't in there, it feels like maybe they like didn't tell her they were going to do it. Because I feel like if they had, she would have either A, talked him out of it, or B, been there monitoring, not just fair. Had Alex monitor. Again, we don't see that, so that's an assumption on our part, but I feel like that could be part of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, like, the fact that she had to sew her cervix shut is, like, very unpleasant for me to think about. I hate it.
Yeah. No. Not interested. Don't want that.
So Marlo is in the surgery with Derek and Helen starts to crash. Simultaneously, Callie and Richard are doing the surgery on the older gentleman, and they get the bullet out, and Izzy's like, oh, it's so weird that he wants it. And Callie's like, oh, if it was me, I'd want to like cast it in gold and hang it on my wall. And Izzy goes, yeah, well, you can afford it. Because she's passive aggressive and like, cannot keep her mouth shut. So obviously Callie's mad about it because she knows now that Izzy knows. So Helen
also,
is still-
it's just not hard to not say every single thing that comes to your mind, Izzy. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Just go down to 50%. Just go to 50% and you'll be a little bit better off.
Yeah, like I'm not that nice, but like I'm not this mean. Like, this is a lot. Even
it's
for me.
Just vengeful and spiteful and mean. It's just mean.
It's
she's
just
a bully.
Like mean girls, yeah. So then Helen is still down, and Derek and George are. Derek's like, I'm going to open my chest, and Marlo tells him what to do because he doesn't have privileges. So he basically is like, this is what you need to do. So they get her heart beating again, and Derek like takes a minute. And then they go out, and Marlo's like, wow, that was amazing. And they tell Burke what happened, and Derek the whole time is like. Like, kind of doesn't seem like he maybe would have told Burke if this wasn't the case, because he knew that this would be Burke's reaction. So Burke and Derek get into it. Burke says he was showing off for Colin Marlowe, and Burke goes, do you think I just crack people's head open even if you're in the building, because I think I can handle a brain bleed? So then Mark is watching. Richard comes up again. He's really mad. He's like, why are all of my surgeons screaming at each other in the hallway? Like, I just don't understand why all of my people are morons.
In my opinion on this one is it was more about the girl than it was about Marlo. If it was a patient,
both.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely both. I just think it was like 45% Marlo, 55% because Helen. It's someone that he personally knew and was emotionally involved in, and he pressured her into doing the surgery.
Okay, so we're gonna take a small break now for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland. It's been a while.
I had to trick Carmen into doing that because he hasn't done it in 3 episodes because there's no one in Shondaland in this episode.
Oh.
I mean, like Thatcher and Susan, but we've already done them in previous episodes, so I didn't want to do them again.
I feel used. I feel used.
But I didn't want to tell you that because I wanted to hear the song. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's
fair. I didn't
deprive
our listeners of the song anymore.
It's true. How many hundreds of messages did we get today asking for bring back Living in Shondaland?
287.
Yeah, that's a lot. Up from our 286 saying, previous record.
Saying only, I miss when Carmen sings that song. That's all they said.
Within the next 2 years, it will be on Patreon as a jingle that you can download for your phone, and it can be your text alert every time
one
of
your... Can you imagine if it was a ringtone?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dr.
99
goes,
cents on the iTunes store.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Dr. Weber goes back to check on Mr. Schofield, who is the man with the bullet in his arm, shoulder, gives him his bullet. He's super upset because he like can't think like a bullet is a million years old and it's been sitting inside of his shoulder for a long time. So like, obviously it's not, it doesn't have USA stamped on the side, so they don't know who shot it. So he's super upset and he's like, I've been mad my whole life. I've lost all my friends and family because of this. And Izzy's like, it's okay, you can let it go. And he's like, you don't know what it's like to have something change you in your soul. And she's like, well, I do, which I will give her. I do think she does. I don't think she's being dramatic.
Yeah.
He says, don't let it turn you.
And that's when Izzy was like, I slept on a bathroom for 3 days. It turned
me. My friend now.
I need to flip-flop back by fucking a married man who's also my best friend, who also just moved out, who also knows everything about me.
Yep. Richard tells Bailey that all the attendings are running him ragged, and basically he feels like this man. He feels like they're, like, shooting at him. And she's like, is there a front runner? And he's like, no, these people fucking blow. I hate all of them.
Whiny little bitches.
Truly. Izzy makes the dinner, looks super nice and fancy. Meredith tells Izzy that she doesn't know what to talk about, and she's like, oh, ask about the baby, people love talking about the baby. So she takes this food out, and Susan is trying so hard to be nice, and Meredith is just like shutting her down. Like, it is just not that difficult to be a normal person. Like, she's like, oh, this chicken looks great, and Meredith's like, yeah, it's from the store. She's like, well, the green beans look nice. And she's like, well, I didn't make those.
Just take the fucking compliment.
Yeah. And Derek's like, well, everything's presented so beautifully. And Meredith is like, well, Izzy did it. Like, just, I mean, you could even say Izzy did it, would be like, oh my God, I know, right? Izzy did such a good job. Like, it's
right. Exactly.
You don't have to shut down everything and then wonder why it's going so poorly.
Exactly. It would be like if you just had your whole family over and the first thing you said was, I wish I was adopted, or, you know,
no,
like,
one was here.
Yeah. Or, you know, some other, insert any shitty thing. And then you wonder why no one's having fun.
Yeah,
it's just, I'm not on Team Meredith on this one.
Yeah, and Alex gets home and she's like, oh, good God, thank God, come and sit with us. And he's like just eating and she's like, okay, well, this didn't help at all. So then Meredith asks about the baby and they just start going on about, I mean, we have babies, so we know, you just start going on about the baby. And they're like, oh, she looks just like Molly. And then Thatcher goes, he's like, oh, I have this picture of me and Molly when she's like 5 and the baby looks just like her. Like, she's got her wagon and we're standing in front of a big tree and there's snow everywhere. And Meredith is like, yeah, that's me.
So well, it's also funny because Susan's like, Thatcher, hey, real quick. And he's like, no, listen, I know. Listen, this is a great picture.
He's like,
Let me tell you.
It was a tree.
There was snow. It was at least December 14th.
So
the equinox had just passed. Trust me. I remember this.
It's a yikes moment for sure. The power goes out. Thatcher's like, I'll go take care of it. And Meredith's like, oh, yeah, he also used to live here. Christine,
which is a weird realization.
Back at the hospital, Christina tells Burke that she's going home and he's like, so how did it end? And she's like, it ended, like, school was over and I was gonna leave. Like, I don't understand. And he's like, well, how can you have this 3-year relationship and then just decide to be done? It's like, well, because I did. And then she's like, he says, oh, you've never let me in. And sometimes I think it's great. Like, you're so different and interesting. But then, like, I don't want you to marry me because you're placating me. I'm not interested in that. So, which is fair.
Good for you, Burke. Burke deserves the world. He's a good guy. And while this bomb is not something that I saw coming, with her being in a 3-year relationship with a professor, and the professor was also like, yo, marry me. And she's like, yo, no. I didn't see that happening, but I don't know. This particular storyline for Christina, I'm not a huge fan of. I don't stan Colin Colestina.
Yeah, because it's weird.
Christina or Marlang.
That one's better, I think.
Marlang. You ever get a Marlang pie? lemon Marlang.
Okay. Meredith sends Derek to go
I have six
help
more
Thatcher.
Jokes about it if you want me to tell
I
you.
Hate it. I'm just going to continue to speak to no one. Meredith sends Derek to go help Thatcher. She apologizes to Susan. She's like, I just don't know what to say to him. And Susan's like, well, that's fine. Thatcher's afraid of you. But, like, it's okay for you to be mad. Like, it was a picture of you. Like, you should be angry. Which, honestly, like, I love Susan in this moment specifically.
She's great. Yeah.
Like, she's not
very
to,
impressed
like,
with her acting
yeah,
and everything.
She's not sweeping it under the rug. She's not being like, oh, sometimes he's stupid. She's like, no, that, like, you should be mad. That fucking sucked what just happened. Like, obviously, he's a shitty person to you. Like, so, yeah. Then we get, we're in the hotel. Callie is mad at George. She's like, you told Izzy, you knew I was like, didn't want people to know about it. And he's like, well, I didn't tell Izzy, I told Meredith. And she's like, okay, well, is that better? Because it's not. So they get in this huge argument. George says he's sick of always being the one who is like getting hit on the nose with the newspaper. He's like, I cut my best friend out. And meanwhile, you're over here lying to me about who you are as a human being. And now you're still trying to make me out to be the bad guy, which is a fair point, I will say. Like, I'm majority on Callie's side, but that is a fair point. Like, she's trying to completely look over the fact that she kept this from him. So she's mad that Izzy is against the marriage. She's like, she's constantly shitting on our marriage, and you just are like, you just let her. I don't understand. And Callie says, it's because she has feelings for you. Like, she's in love with you. She wants you. And George is like, that's ridiculous. She's pretty. Which I understand where he was coming
from. He doesn't like, just
that's
say
clearly
that.
Clearly an insult. Yeah, you're right.
He what does he say? He says she's a supermodel. She's stacked,
she's
which
blonde,
she is.
She's
a yeah.
Supermodel.
And then my heart dropped for Callie in this scene because she's like, well, then what the fuck am I?
Yeah.
He's like, well, it's you're gorgeous. It's okay.
Her face drops like the second he says that. Like you can see
terrible.
It. And she does. It's so sad. Like it's so heartbreaking to watch her like hear him say that. So obviously it was like an accidental insult and he's like, no, like you're beautiful and gorgeous and curvy and I never thought you would want me, but here we are. And she's like, you know what? Fuck you. Get out of my hotel room.
It is worth noting that at this point, my note says George or Izzy wants George. They're going to fuck.
Interesting. Because I have audio recording of you saying that they're not going to have sex.
Yeah, but you also have 100 audio recordings of me saying
more.
They are going to.
I know. It's just funny because the most recent one was you saying they aren't. So good. So Christina shows up at the house and she's like, I'm having a crisis. And Meredith's like, don't worry about it. It's okay. Susan's so nice. We're getting through it. It's going to be okay. And Christina goes, no, I'm not I'm actually having a crisis.
This is not a drill.
This is not pretend. George shows up and is like, where's Izzy? And then she's in the kitchen. So he goes in and yells at her. And she's like, he goes, I need you to get over it because I need to be able to vent to my best friend. And I can't do that if you're doing all of your bullshit. And I need to vent with alcohol. So she's like, okay. So that's what happened with that. They pour some drinks. And he says, I'm afraid I got married and it was a bad idea. And she says, everyone who's ever been married has thought that. Have they?
I don't know.
Why do you think that is? Have you been married? I don't know.
She was almost married. Thank you.
Derek finds Thatcher hiding in the laundry room and he's like, I need a break because I don't know how to talk to Meredith. But it's basically the same thing Meredith said. Like, I don't know how to talk to Thatcher. And Derek, they kind of go back and forth and Thatcher's like, like you guys get each other. That's nice. And he's like, yeah, it's nice. But sometimes I wish that she didn't have to go through this kind of thing every day because it's hard on her. And he says like, oh, she's really tough and it can be difficult. But if you make the effort, it's worth it to know her, which is nice.
It is nice. It's nice for him to acknowledge that.
Yeah. So Thatcher's like, are you okay? And he's like, not entirely. And then his pager goes off and he has to go back to the hospital where Helen is awake and doing well. And she's like, hey, it's an 11-inch hole cut in my chest, wondering what's going on with that. And so Derek tells her and she's like, says that she decided to come back and have the surgery again in 2 more years. And he's like, we're not going to have to because what I wanted to do worked and I got all of the tumor. So now you get to just have your full life, which is a happy ending for her. We love to see it.
We do. We get so few of them in this show where the patient's story turns out good.
So Thatcher and Susan leave. They're thanking Meredith. Meredith thanks Susan for suggesting it. Thatcher's like, oh, this swing is still here. Meredith's like, yeah, but no one sits on it because it doesn't swing. And he like pulls a little peg out and he's like, oh, I put this in here because you used to always get your fingers pinched in it. She's like, oh.
That was a cute scene.
He does know some stuff about her.
Yeah. And it was that cute scene was immediately following him giving her a handshake goodbye, like a fucking dweeb. Great to see you, daughter. Here's a handshake. Also, let me just go ahead and drop this childhood bomb on you. There is a pin here because I did care about you at one point.
Yes. It was a long time ago. That's why you don't remember.
It's been 84 years.
So then there's Izzy and George are drinking. And she tells him to suck it up and go apologize and grovel. And they're just like laughing a lot. And Izzy's like, maybe she's insecure, but like, you just have to apologize. And George is like, she is insecure. Listen to this dumb thing she said. She said that you want me and I want you back and we're in love. Ha ha ha. And they're like laughing a lot. And then they have sexual tension.
Sexual tension.
What are your notes for this part?
Let's see. George and Izzy are about to fuck. They had a look. And then they cut, and then it cuts to, yeah, and then it cuts to Alex, and then the, you know.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot the part where they were, where Alex and Izzy are in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was before George showed up, and Alex tells Izzy he has a date, and she's like, "Oh, so you actually, did move on," and he's like, "Yeah, I thought that was okay. You said you didn't want me," and she goes, "Yeah, but that didn't mean I wanted you to want someone else." And then she's like, "I'm afraid that I'm going to be alone forever, and just always like be pining over a dead guy." And he's like, "Oh, you'll move on when you're ready," which apparently is tonight.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that scene is it shows you a lot of who Izzy is. Like, yes, she's caring. Yes, she's got a big heart, but she's also just a gigantic narcissist. I want you to move on, but I don't want you to not want me at the same time. Like,
yeah,
pick a lane, Izzy. And I get it. Yeah. Like, it makes sense. I think all of us people who have a little bit of an ego after like a breakup, like, yeah, you don't want to be with that person, but that doesn't mean you don't want them to not be wanting you. Like, I get it. Exactly. But like, calm it all down, Izzy. Like, you have a dead fiance. You don't need Alex. Yeah. It's fine.
So Alex is talking to Jane Doe, and he's like, "I'm sorry I gave you bad advice. Like, I overstepped. You should really get your medical advice from attendings." And she says, "No, like, you're the only one who talks to me and like makes me feel like I'm not alone," and all this stuff. It's a nice connection moment. And she's like, "Tell me a story." So he sits down and tells her a story.
And he opens up the little blue truck.
No, the little engine that could.
Ah, yes.
Or Never Touch a Panda, which is the book we read tonight.
Incredible. I think Jessica, well, I wasn't up there for bedtime tonight, but we read Goodnight Farm yesterday, and it's cute. Delightful. It's got all the little farm animals. Yeah.
So, yeah, Christina is going to sleep in Meredith's bed, and she says, "Am I going to screw up this engagement?" To which Meredith says, "I don't know. Do you want to?" And Christina says, "I don't know," which is telling. And then Naked Izzy wakes up next to Naked George. And
because they fought. I'm just so happy for them.
You're so happy for you.
I'm so happy that I was right way more than I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so let's rate it.
So, okay, can I go first?
Yes, please.
This episode, while there are things that I'm very happy about it, it was just fine. I'm going to give this episode a resident 0.62. 3.62.
I was thinking 3.8. So I think we're right. We're in the same realm. Like, yeah, obviously something huge happens at the end. And also, like, the Christina Burke stuff is kind of big. But other than that, like, there wasn't anything, like, huge thing that was life-altering or anything like that. So,
yeah,
just kind of recovering from last week, setting up for next week, you know.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's hard to rank this episode when it's coming off of the three-part roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And, like, especially when the last scene of the last episode that we saw was Izzy and Denny touching and, like, that emotional ride.
Ugh, so good.
It's hard when you're looking at any episode in retrospect now, you know?
Yeah.
But until you get to, like, a truly bonkers episode. All right. Before we wrap up, what are the predictions that you want to give me? And where do we want to go until next week? Where do we want to leave this?
Predict the Izzy, George, Callie scenario.
George and Callie have never made sense to me. I've enjoyed their relationship. I'm happy for them, but it never made sense long term in the show. And I was actually thinking about this while I was driving to get Marlo from daycare today. I think because hindsight is 2020, you know that now there's 19 seasons. And I don't know who is or who isn't in the show 19 seasons later. Mm-hmm. But it feels like they rushed a lot of these marriages because they didn't know how many seasons they were going to be able to do, right? So they blew a lot of their load early is what I think.
Okay.
So there's premature storyline ejaculation. And I don't think that George and Callie are meant to be together forever. And I predict that within the next half season, like before the end of season three, they will be divorced. I don't think prediction-wise Izzy and George are going to be together. They may have sex one more time as a breakup healing, but I just don't see them in a relationship either.
Okay. Mark and Addison.
I want Mark to screw up because Addison deserves better. However, I do want to see Mark prove that he cares about Addison as much as he's saying. And I kind of am rooting for them right now. So I'm going to officially predict and manifest Mark succeeds with the no sex challenge.
Okay. Alex, what's he got going on?
Nothing. He was lying when he said he had a date. It was just to go see Jane Doe. And I don't think that they're going to get together.
Okay. Yet another Denny part two.
Yeah, no thanks.
She doesn't have an Alpine wire to cut, so obviously he's not going to fall in love with her. Christina and Burke. I think your last prediction was that they would break up before the end of season three.
I need to watch the next episode. I need to see how Marlo is integrating with the situation here, because I can't tell if he's just being a douchebag and Christina's like, I'm not going to play into this and I'm not going to dignify it. So she's like, kind of just say, like, whatever Marlo is saying, she's just kind of like echoing it. I don't know what's going on truly, but I'm not ready to make a prediction on them quite yet.
Okay, well, I think that's everybody for now, at least. So guys, thank you for listening. Hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving. Hope you're in a little turkey coma after listening to this with some sweet potato pie to eat. Nom, nom, nom.
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie, Carmen's favorite. Remember, you can always reach out to us on our email at graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, graysacademypod. Chaotically Kelsey, carmen.gabriel.official. Please, please, please share this with your friends. Like, subscribe, make sure you're getting those automatic notifications and downloads when we release our new episodes. We just are so grateful that you guys are listening and enjoying, and we love hearing from everybody. You can find our Patreon link in the episode description or in our Instagram bio. And if you see Carmen walking down the Thanksgiving street,
no spoilies, please don't do it. We've been doing a good job so far, and I want to take these last few seconds to shout out Morocco for cracking our top 10 over the last week in streams. Thank you, Moroccans. We appreciate you. And happy Thanksgiving. We will see you all in the next one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.